Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Pancha Lila, Chapter 20, the Shikshastakam Press, page 93. Sri Prahlad Maharaj says in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.14, just as pieces of iron rush of their own volition to the magnet, similarly by the independent will of the Supreme Lord, my heart and mind have shaken off their enthrallment to material life and are forcibly being dragged to the magnet of his lotus feet. This statement establishes the principle of an inherent and eternal relationship between the infinitesimal jiva and the infinite Supreme Lord. This relationship becomes obscured, however, when the spirit soul turns away from Krishna. But when, by good fortune, the jiva's consciousness becomes purified, then the eternally mutual relationship between the Lord and the jiva is rejuvenated. Just as a clean and shiny piece of iron is most efficiently magnetic prone, purification is thus necessary in order to manifest their inherent and eternal relationship. Other than this, the process of purification has no real function. Right, so, yeah, okay. Therefore, the purified jivas who are sadhakas of the prema dharma, or the path of loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord, should realize that this path is highly allergic. To all other results, save and except Krishna Prema. So it's an important aspect, is that moving forward, it's only because of bhakti one moves forward. Without bhakti, then one doesn't move forward. Right? By the association of Vaishnavas, by unknown devotional activities, then one gets purified. And one comes to the point where one can appreciate the devotional process, and so that you get that faith. Though that faith will be unsteady, as we saw. You know, the faith is light and it's unsteady. But with association of the devotees and by the devotional process, then it starts to become stable until one becomes purified enough, it does become stable. So the point being that the purification process, its only value is that it just makes one more inclined to be attracted to the Lord. Right? But still, the choice is ours, right? Because you say you can do other processes for purification, but they don't give bhakti. They don't give prema. They only make it so that one might be inclined. But you have to make the choice. Does that make sense? So the only, you know, the prema is what one gets from the devotional process, not something else. Right? If one is interested in something else, Krishna may reciprocate with that, but that's because of your desire. But prema, then that is only because it's one has that exclusive focus on Krishna. Does that make sense? So as it mentions, it's the inherent eternal relationship. So as one gets purified, one naturally moves forward to this. So this concept that we've discussed many times of that, well, what if I don't want to do this or that? What if I don't like my position and this and that? But that's only coming because of material consciousness, because we're looking at it, what's my benefit rather than the Krishna's. Right? And as we saw before, that's the difficulty when one's off the path of devotion. Right? To the right you have the sahajas, to the left you have the smartas, or the other way around, whichever way you like to look at it. You know, and so the point is that they're looking at what I'm going to get, right? The smart is in that is what I'm going to get. The fruit of activities, the results of liberation. So dharma artha kama and moksha. It's about what I'll get from that. And so by following this, I get this, by that. If by bhakti I can get these in a nice way, then of course I will take it up. But it's only because I'm getting the benefits that I want. Well, the sahaji is then it's about what pleasure they're going to enjoy in Krishna's company. It's not about Krishna. So it doesn't even, it's not even on the basic level. They're thinking that they're on the level of Braja Bhakti, but they don't even qualify for Samanya Bhakti, like you see the Mahishis in Mathura they have. Because their idea is that, you know, enjoying with Krishna, that they'll enjoy, but it still is centered around Krishna, and Krishna will be pleased. Right, but it's mainly about them. But here, it's just about themselves and showing off and being recognized and considered a great devotee because of this. So their gain in safety and their prestige, la puja pratishtha, is all coming because they're a devotee. It doesn't really have anything to do with Krishna and his pleasure as a person. Yes.
In two places, one of the last verse of the Sri Sultanjana, I can't quote it even in English, but there's one line that says, please don't forget all that I have done for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So I've always wondered about, you know, it's like, hey, remember me? You know, I made you a favor, you give me a favor now. You know, it's kind of give and take. So that's one aspect. And the other is, recently I was reading and Sanatana Goswami visiting Lord Chaitanya in Puri. And then, you know, he laments because of the condition of his body, and he tells Haridas Thakur and he tells Jagannanda Pandit, you know, I came here for my benefit, but I'm not getting any benefit. And I can't grasp what he means by my benefit. It seems, you know, I came here for my own spiritual advancement, but it's not working.
Well, looking at it, see, is that from the material platform, then it would have those angles that you're talking about. But from the spiritual platform, our benefit comes from Krishna being pleased. When Krishna is pleased, that's actually our benefit. So we, as jivas, have a, you know, in, like it says, an eternal inherent relationship in which we are servants and we're trying to please Krishna. And so when we're in that position, then that's we get the best benefit. But it's not about us getting the benefit. It's that's just a symptom that you're doing. It's properly situated. Krishna's pleased. Mm. You know, it's just like let's say when the person is after the meal. You know, then he's saying, oh, this was so nice, the cooks did such a great job, and, you know, who was arranging did so wonderful, and this was such a wonderful occasion. So, that's a symptom that they're happy. So we may, so some will look at it, that's all, they're only doing it not to please them. They want that recognition. But to get the recognition, you have to please the person. But here, it's just they want to please the person, so when they say these things, then that's a symptom. Okay, they're happy. Then you can say, my life is perfect because I'm able to please Krishna. That's actually what we should do. So they're looking at it from their position of wanting to please Krishna. So it doesn't have. So their memory, because Krishna, he's independent, so if he wants to deal or not, so he's just hoping that we've done something to please you, we've done something like that, and so if that is there, then, you know, because we forget, he doesn't forget. You know what I'm saying? So it'll always have that aspect. So the words may be the same, but, and it's a matter, is it about Krishna's pleasure, or is it about the result, the mechanical result? See, that's where you start to see the difference. I do this, I get this result. That pleases Krishna, then they're happy. For others, I got that result, I'm happy.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like I cooked and I really worked hard and it came out and it looks fabulous and the arrangements are great and all that, I'm happy. But the point is unless the devotees and Krishna are happy, then is it actually good? Because if they come in and they don't think it's great, and I think, what do you mean? That's great. Look at this. Look at how well it's done and the ingredients and this and that. You guys are a bunch of Philistines. Right? You know? So then we're missing the point. It's about pleasing the Vaishnava. So not that it's not mechanically a fabulous arrangement, but Krishna, it's the devotion that impresses him. Not how everything's so perfect and this and that, you know.
Okay, now I understand.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So you must have had experience yourself that there's been times when you're cooking and you know everything is going perfect. And you think, okay, this is going to be a great offering. And then after, when you taste it, there's no flavor at all. Just nothing. It's like, what happened to the flavor? It's like, you know, someone took a vacuum cleaner and sucked out all the flavor or what? And other times, you know you've completely messed it up. And you're really feeling that, oh, but you know, you want to do nice for Krishna and all that. And you feel bad about that. And then when you taste it, it's like fabulous. You've had that, no?
Yeah.
So that's because Krishna, it's the devotion. It's that we use the technique for Krishna. So that's the one thing. We're aware of the technique and thinking, hey, it's all happening, you know. But when you're just doing it and all that, then Krishna accepts it. It's the devotion and the good technique, and so it goes together. But even if it's not, therefore, you know, Uddhava's banana peels, you know, will be tastier than all the nice arrangements that Duryodhana is making. You know, so that's ultimately, it comes down to this point and that faith in that, that it's only by pleasing Krishna that there's any benefit. That's religion. Everything else, these are secondary, that are used as mediums to express that. Because as a person, with all the six opulences, those opulences can be combined into all kinds of wonderful things. You know? And so those wonderful arrangements are done just to please Krishna. But it's not about those arrangements, because the opulence is already his. And he, as part of the opulences, there's opulences that take care of organizing the opulences. You know, so it's not that, you know, it's saying when Krishna expands, it's like everything's there, it's complete in itself. So it's going to be perfect and wonderful and done in devotion and all that. So therefore, you know, it's like you said, he has hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis. But he's only asking for a flower, a leaf, fruit, some water in devotion. Because otherwise, as far as all the fancy stuff goes, that's hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis. You know, people in this, the whole 14 worlds are running after one Lakshmi. And he's got hundreds and thousands of them. So there's no question that, you know, we're going to, you know, make his day because we've got such fabulous technique and all that, you know. Because we've got that technique from Krishna, it's his technique.
Mm.
You know, it's like I'm impressed when I see people cooking on, you know, four or six burners at once. You know, I've seen some devotees, they can sit down, they go to the thing, light them all. You know, it's not that they light one, put a prep, no, they light them all, then start putting pans, throwing this and that, doing like that, and nothing's burning, everything's working out. And like in 20 minutes, they got six preps. You know? And so then, you know, wow. When Radharani goes in, they light all 100 stoves. You know? I mean, that's impressive. You know? Because she's going to be overseeing. You know, she may be telling this one, this, that one, but she still knows who can cook what and what to do, and she's still organizing. She's still thinking 100 fires. You know? So that's you know, so technique is there's no better technique than in Braj. You know, it was being said it was earlier that Jiva Goswami is mentioning about the opulence of Vrindavan is so much more. It means Ayodhya is more than Vaikuntha. Dwarka is significantly more than Ayodhya. Not just, it's significantly more. Right? And all of these aspects of Sraita, they pale in comparison to Braj. But the point is it's covered by the sweetness, so no one is distracted or impressed by the opulence. They just use it for Krishna. So they have the best things that they all use for Krishna. So it's a very, very nice point. So here is that it's pointing out is I'm pure. It's not that I did austerity, I purified myself, therefore I deserve bhakti. No, the purification is only useful because then bhakti goes more smoothly. But it's about it going more smoothly. You know, it's just like the machine. If you oil it, it runs better. But it's not about the oiling, it's about the machine running. You know, does that make sense? So that's what's important, is that we always take it that this cause and effect. You know, I did something. You know, I got the things that in the place. I took all the things. I made it happen. We don't even necessarily look at the proper attitudes. You know, let alone what someone else's experience is going to be. You know, it's kind of like when we're organizing something that it's a matter of everything being there in the right place, it all happening and all that, and getting the perfect results. Whether in the process, you know, we upset a lot of devotees, and at the end, if people like it or not, that isn't our initial, concern. We're just looking at the mechanics. That's how we've been conditioned. When we turn away from Krishna, where it's about pleasing Krishna, therefore the attitudes of Krishna, so we see everything in context of Krishna. Once you remove that, then it's, here's the mechanics, what I can get, what I can do, and what results I can. You know? Does that make sense? So we take off the actual primary thing and just leave the secondary. Is that like that? So the point that should be out is that this path or devotion or prema dharma is highly allergic to all other results save and except Krishna prema. Highly allergic. Just means it has no interest in anything else. So that's the thing, is that path, seeing that path and that to please Krishna, that's the path that the Brajavasis are following. So that's the point, is the secondary rules, they're not doing anything because it's this rule. They're doing it because it pleases Krishna. You know, we have a tendency to take it that spontaneous means I don't follow the rules. No, they're not following the rules because the rule is important. They are pleasing Krishna. That happens to be following the rules. You know what I'm saying? So that's why you please Krishna, you also get this. These are secondary effects. Like it says, you're absorbed in Krishna because he's the absolute. Then as a secondary result, liberation is there. Because mukti simply means you're not on the material platform. You're absorbed in Krishna, you're on the transcendental platform. So mukti just comes as a side dish, you know, it's just, you know.
You know,
chutney or something, yeah, you know. You know, if it was down to you get the chips or you get the chutney, you know, you'll take the chips, you know, like that. But if you get it, good, okay. So it's just a matter of appreciating that's all that's actually important. And all other dharmas, because everything has a dharma. You know, like this rug, it has a dharma. Right? It keeps you off the floor, it's warmer, it adds an ambience to the room, it has its nature, how you clean it, how you deal with it, how you can roll it up, how, you know, what its size, everything about it. But that's only important in its value in serving Krishna. So on the material platform, we simply look at the secondary. We don't look at the primary because it's not about Krishna, it's about ourselves. So if I like it, you know, and I get benefit, then I get the rough. Like that, you understand? So I appreciate those dharmas that support me, but those dharmas that don't support me, I'm not involved in. So it's got to be that, no, you're only following dharmas because they please Krishna. So that's the sarva dharma paritya-ja.
So that motive.
Yes, that motive, that intent. That's the main thing. So we look at it as mechanics. That's why there's a big problem when it's taken as it's mechanics. You know, okay, it's quadrant one, clue three or four. Okay, great, or this system or that system. But unless that system is seen in context of it pleasing Krishna, it won't work. Karmis may make it work, but for how long? Like I just mentioned Covey. There are people that today are still following Covey, and it's still working. But you'll find most other people have moved on and are doing something else. Because they're looking at the mechanics, they're only doing it, doesn't get exactly what they want, 100%. So they leave that for something else that claims it'll give 100%. And just moves on. But I mean, if you follow the management principles of the Romans and the Greek, it still works today. No? I mean, you go across the pond over there, and there's a country there that based their federal system on those two countries, what they were doing, and taking out what they saw was strong. And despite how insane it is, it hasn't fallen apart. That's good. You know, we're not saying that who's running it is doing a great job.
You mean the U.S.?
Yes, why not?
It's actually genius.
It is. I mean, I saw one thing where they were talking about
the federal government.
The millennial, the 2000, then I think one of the, maybe it was Time or something, or something. They went through and people who did outstanding things that were very unique in history. You know, things like, I think, the guy with the printing press, how it changed things and this and that. And so then it came to the political thing, then it was George Washington, because he came up with a system. So others are using democratic systems, but they're constantly falling apart and really not working. You know, and then they have to bring in someone else, and then it kind of starts to work a bit, and then like this and that. But that one, it's just it just works despite, you know, how you say, we the people. You know, it just works. So that's the genius that's there, that the mechanics and all that is there. But so that's the thing, is you take all the it's 2,000, 3,000 year old points. You know, I mean, Socrates is talking about the weakness of democracy. It means they already had it then. And he was talking about if it's done like this, everyone's educated, it's a very strong thing. And if everyone's not educated, it's a very dangerous thing. You know, and so all these things, there are thousands of years, and they work. But then today, oh no, but that's old, we have to go with the new stuff. And they're eternal principles. You follow them, they work. So somebody puts together this way, this aspect works, and it goes nice, but some other aspects fall apart. So we have to understand the mechanics are eternal things. But unless they're engaged in Krishna service, they don't become perfect. Does that make sense? Then it's like what Pradmar says, that Shrami Eva Hikavalam. It's just a waste of time. You know, you put food in your mouth, you chew it, you swallow it, body will become nourished. You know, it worked for Neanderthal, it worked for, you know, whatever it is, that original, what do you call it? Little protoplasma. When amoeba. When the lightning bolt hit the primordial soup, you know, like that. And so that's the thing, is then you have to actually check it back, because it was soup. Now, who's known for soup? Soup, right? Because generally the French are really good at soup. So does that mean that there was a French guy there, he made the primordial soup, and then the lightning bolt hit? You know, I mean, it's just, you know, how does it work? So the point is it's always been there. No, the chewing process, the swallowing and all that kind of thing. You know, like that. Yeah, soup's also been there, because, you know, otherwise.
Eternal principle.
Yeah, you just throw something in a pot, put in some water, and let it boil, you know, so that's fine. You know, so the that aspect of that would be the thing, is check the soup, and what was the chemical compound, and then check that against various soups in the world and see actually which soup was the original soup.
Ratatouille.
No, there's another one before Ratatouille. It's called Pradhan.
Yeah, that's the primordial soup. Yeah. So the basic thing is that the mechanics are eternal. It's a reflection. So the mechanics work the same. So they're not different. But the spiritual world, they use those for please Krishna. Here we use it to please ourselves. And therefore the quality of what they have is better. You know, it's just like people in the greater society, they have bathroom facilities, and within the prison they have bathroom facilities, but just there's a slight difference, you know, like in the home you have a sink and you have a toilet, they're two separate things. Well, in the prison they're one thing. You know, the toilet is the where you wash your hands and everything, it's just one thing. And there's no seat cover. Because people will rip it off and, you know, kill each other with it. So there's no seat cover. So the point is, it's the same thing. But it's just, because they use it properly, therefore in the spiritual world, the quality is so much better. So even here, they're a little more pious, means they're inclined towards the original position, how to use it. They'll use the same qualities, the techniques, the attitudes, though it's still for themselves, so they get a better quality. You know? And then as they don't have that, they're not willing to accept authority and all these different things in the culture, then the quality they get is less. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But in the spiritual world, so in the spiritual world, it's not about the things, it's about pleasing Krishna. So then accordingly they have. And especially in Braja, then even the opulence isn't the thing. They're not attracted by that. They're just, it's about pleasing Krishna. So the things they have there, the opulence is much greater, but no one sees it. They all think it takes on that simple village, you know, human environment. Though it's way more opulent. So they hardly even talk about the opulence because they don't want to distract anybody from. Like you saw, you had that pastime with Lord Chaitanya, you know, and the thieves. You know, they heard about this kid or about Krishna, I think it also happened on Krishna, and all the ornaments, all that. So they just came to steal it all. And then he just went for a ride around and they brought him right back to his own house and they freaked out and ran off.
I mean, however politically incorrect it might sound, but from Srimad Bhagavatam we learn that the greatest opulence of Braj is the dairy products.
Yes.
And so many pastimes are based just on that. You know, the gopis going, you know, to sell whatever they
Yeah, Dangati.
Yeah.
And
so
even
many.
The boat pastime is also
yeah.
That one. The whole Damodar Leela is all based on that.
Yeah, Damodar Leela.
The elder gopis coming and complaining to Mother Jashoda, it's all about that.
The novel passage of Varshana.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, that's yeah. All that. So it's yeah, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions it. Also, I think Jiva Goswami mentioned that Krishna, of all the things that, you know, fruits, vegetables, grains, dairy and sweetener, that dairy is his favorite food. So therefore, it can be dairy with any of the other four and any those combinations of that. But dairy is the central point. Yeah, not sesame oil.
Not mustard oil.
Not mustard oil. Not coconut oil.
Not soy.
Yeah, not soy oil. Not peanut oil? Huh? Olive oil? No. Yeah, that kind of, that basically wipes out most all the cuisines of the world.
So what's the origin? Primordial soup?
No, origin is ghee.
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 Pizza is ghee.
Hmm? No, that. But if you make the tomato sauce with butter,
butter, yes, but ghee.
But the point is it's a dairy product. You use the right one for the right job.
In one day, son at the market is selling momos.
Momos?
Yeah. And I said, they look really good. He said, yes, Prabhu. In pure ghee.
Mom was in pure ghee. This is Rasa Bas.
Yeah, so it's just a matter of you do those elements. Even if you use or are supposed to use the butter or ghee with it. So that nowadays what to do. But yes, that's the all the lila comes around those things. So that's why you one should, like it mentions, Bhaktivinoda Thakura is mentioning the point is that you have the five main aspects of devotional service, the direct aspects, and then you have other features of devotional service. Now, as one practices and develops, one may have an attraction for a particular one or a combination, but he warns against developing an aversion against the others. Because if you do that, then you limit yourself. How are you going to take part in all these things? You know, you like chanting but don't like deity worship, then the problem is then what are you going to do in Braj when they're all rendering service to Krishna? They're washing his feet, or they're decorating him, or feeding him, and that's the deity worship. So if you only chant, then Haribol. You know. So in the same way, as one has to be very, very careful about this thing, developing, like you said, developing this political angle on, you know, the cows, and then having an aversion to. So it's just it has, you know, dairy. So immediately, oh, then you know, you bring up the political things that you're going to have a big problem with spiritual advancement.
You can try it.
The ten tridents. They will be waiting.
Which verse are you reading from, Maharaj, from the Shikshastra?
This is the last verse.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we covered the... Yesterday we covered the 2.5 verses.
What?
Yeah. Very fast.
Yeah. We're on the last verse.
Sure.
Yeah, so that's the whole point. It's about pleasing Krishna. It has nothing to do with anything else. So, because Radharani is looking at it that mechanically, then, you know, the girls being with Krishna, there's always that aspect of exclusivity of themselves or those who support them. But if you have if Krishna with an opposing girl, that doesn't work. But she's saying, even despite that, the mechanics are completely off. Still, it won't change her affection for Krishna. In other words, her affection for Krishna is not based on her being the center of attention.
What is the purpose for having right-wing, left-wing gopis? Is that to intensify and increase the mood of who loves Krishna more?
Not so much as it's yeah. I mean, you're going to have that as a mechanical thing, but it's different flavors. Because it's the right is I am Krishna's, and the left is Krishna's is ours. So it gives a different flavor. And so both of those are going to be, because you see one and two, they are the heads of these two groups. So it's not like one and, you know, 1,008, you know, so it's not that it's all one, it goes like that, and then, you know, so one is left, two is right, three, four are left, then five, six are right, you know, like that. Does that make sense? So I'm not sure of 7 and 8, where they stand, you know, what's their position, you know, in this. I haven't, you know, noticed, you know, maybe it's been mentioned, but it's one of those that, you know, it's just how many yojans above your head it's flying by, you know, it's like.
Also, there is an aspect of mana among the eight stages of Preeti. Unless there are two different links, there is no.
Yeah, where will the mana come in? I mean, you can create it from nothing. That's not all right. He says. one has an occasion, you've dressed up and, you know, and come out, and if he's, okay, great, you know, we're late. No, that's it, finished. You know, turn around, go back in the room and put on your baggy t-shirt. Right, you know, so that, you know, it's just there, you know, or, yeah, you know, oh, yeah, yeah, oh, wow, you look great, you know, okay, that one works that time. Next time, wow, you look fabulous, you know, oh, what do you like about it? You know, now you're stuck again. So you can, the thing in here, it's because it is an element to intensify. The whole point of man is to intensify. It means it's something that's good. So now if you create a seeming negative, then it intensifies it so that it becomes better. You know? Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, the guy is like, you know, he has to think about these things. The ladies, that's all they do is that something goes. They say something, it's not working. That you see the brain is just working, right? You know, what are the million thing options that could be? It seems like, okay, it's this, and then they'll say something else, you know? No? So that's just inherent. It's working like that because both sides are working. While the men, it's one side or the other. So if it's on the wrong side, then they tend to make, how you say, the first quality of the conditioned soul.
Sometimes it looks like it's always on the wrong side.
Well, that's because whichever side, it can be the wrong side. When both sides are working, whichever side you're on can easily be the wrong side.
With forgetfulness also.
Well, forgetfulness, but, you know, makes mistakes. You know, and that, here's the trick. Oh, okay, yeah, you look great. But it's cheating because he doesn't actually know what, he just knows he's supposed to say it. You know, like that. Imperfect senses, he can't actually tell what looks nice. You know? I was telling one devotee, he says, you know, says, you're running this temple, but it's such a mess. But you're doing these big, huge programs, you know, things he can bring in, you know, lakhs and lakhs, and bring in the biggest guys and that. But he says he can't create the place clean. He says, yeah. He says that's why I depend on others to do that. He says I can't see it. He says if there was a pile of garbage in the middle of the floor when I walked in, I'd just walk around it because all I think is, you know, what you can do to get these big guys involved, and you know, so. That's imperfect senses. So yes, the right and left, they bring out the flavor and all that. And so you see is then, even within that, then let's say so Braj, it's the place of left, but the right is very, you know, is very, has its prominence. But it, like Dorka and that, it'll be right as the main. But left will still have its prominence. Mm-hmm. You know, so you see active pastimes with Satyabhama more. You know,
yes.
It's very pleasant, very proper with Rukmini. But you know, you hear very minimal of the other, you know.
Always have this image when you read the pastime of you know, Krishna leaves the gopis in the forest. He goes away with Radharani. She says, carry me. And then he goes. And then she collapses. The gopis run. Chandralali turns up and goes, I knew this would happen. You don't know how to handle him. I do. It's like, you know, everybody's like, and she's like the smart one. You know? And you wonder, you know, well, why do you have to say these things now? This is not the time to say these things.
Yeah. Because the thing is, Krishna's trying to make a point.
Yeah.
So until the point is learned, so that's why then after that they go into all those, you know, all those absorption and everything like that. Then only the mood comes in mind.
Yeah, true.
Lord Krishna himself substantiates this truth in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10:32-22. My dear gopis, you have served all family bindings. You have severed all family bindings for my sake. Such an achievement is very rare, even for great philosophers and yogis. Our meetings with each other are completely pure and unblemished. If I wanted to repay the debt I have incurred by your love, devotion, service, and renunciation, even with my immortal body for all eternity, I would be unable. I am obliged to your obliged to you life after life. You may succeed in acquitting me of this debt by your gentle and divine demeanor, nay, your sublime love, but I will always remain indebted to you. From the Lord's own statement, it is clear that in order to please and attract him, one must love and satisfy his devotees. Though the phrase marma hatam, deeply affected in the heart, afflicted in the heart, has been used in the shloka, in truth a devotee feels not grief but exultation, jubilation. To emphasize this point, Sri Krishna says in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:32:21, O beloved gopis, there is no doubt that for my sake you have disregarded social taboos, Vedic injunctions, even cut yourself off from your relatives and family members. Your meditation on me has been single-minded, not thinking at all of your beauty or your nupital bliss. In order to increase your love for me, I disappeared from your sight. Please do not blame me for this act of love, because you are as extremely dear to me as I am to you. End quote. Another important point in the shloka is that although it speaks of giving me bliss by your loving embrace, there's no trace of selfish pleasure. In fact, the only thought here is of loving Krishna and giving him pleasure. Such a statement is therefore very much in conformity with the true emotions of true love. This is Bhaktivinoda. Okay. Let's now discuss in brief the preeminence of these eight shlokas known as Shikshastika. Just how glorious is Srimati Radharani as the personification of Sri Krishna's internal spiritual potency, and how glorious is her magnificent love. Krishna also desires to know how she alone fully relishes the wonderful qualities in him, and the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of his love. Longing to fulfill these desires, the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, in his eternal form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the absolute divinity of Audarya, or magnanimity, performs manifold pastimes and savors the loving moods in an exclusive section of Goloka known as Sri Navadvipam, the highest realm of the Vaikuntha planets and the playground of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on one hand, taught by his own example how to lead an ideal household life, enacting transcendental pastime of a householder. On the other hand, he also taught the renunciates and sannyasis how to uphold the highest standards of devotion and detachment by his own exemplary behavior. These super excellent teachings are all contained in the eight shlokas. The Shikshastika prayers are the essence of all Vedic scriptures for the Rasika Bhakta, or the pure devotees who relish rasas. These prayers, having emanated from the lips of the Supreme Lord himself, are indeed the absolute truth. Hence they should be read, recited, and worshipped daily by sincere and fortunate souls. These prayers should be their constant companion, learnt and taken to heart. Those surrendered souls who read the Shri Shikshastika prayers, which are the nectarine words flowing from the mouth of the Supreme Lord Gauranga, with devotion, will certainly be attracted to the honey from the Lord's, from Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, and like intoxicated bees, plunge into the lily-filled lake of Krishna Prema. 401 years after the advent of Lord Gauranga, the commentary called Sri Sanmodana Bhashyam has been composed by me, Srila Kedarnath Bhakti Vinod. Mm-hmm. This is... Okay. Well, here is, it says Sri Bhajan Rahasya. And here he's saying Sanmodana Bhashyam. So they're the same thing.
Sanmodana Bhashyam is just the eight verses of Shastra.
Right. But in Bhajan Rahasya also is based off of, I think, the... It has those elements. But because here, for instance, in the Bhajan Rahasya, unless there was, You forgot to put it where it switched if it did. Okay, whatever. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I am simply a lowly maidservant to the gopis who are absorbed in serving my Lord's lotus feet. He may embrace me, he may exploit me, or he may break my heart by not appearing before me. He is a libertine, ravishing the gopi damsels with his lusty desires. Let his will triumph. Yet in spite of everything, he is the beloved Lord of my heart, nothing less, nothing more. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, fully independent. Obeying his wishes is my only religion. I am not independent, or so whimsical that I can recoil from his service, this service attitude, and go against his will. In the stage of perfection, the soul is devoid of both bodily and mental material designations. He now attains Krishna's eternal playground, the transcendental realm of Vrindavan. As a female assistant to a gopi, he serves Krishna in his original spiritual identity, blessed with supramundane senses. His singular meditation is to satisfy Krishna's desire. This then is the true form of unalloyed devotion or love of Godhead. See, he's talking about the identity. What is single meditation is to please Krishna's desire. Right? That's the true form. So that's why you see the sahajiyas, they get off because they're focusing on the physical form that they'll have, the physical service, the physical place, all these things that are basically the manifestations of the sandini potency. And they're not actually talking about the attitude that's given in Sambit and the Krishna's pleasure and all that of Haladi. That's completely missed. While here he's pointing out his notes, that's the true form is one's being exclusively focused on Krishna as a servant of the servant of the servant. That's actually the position. So then discussing it doesn't bring about, oh, why aren't we doing this or that or stuff. The jiva must never arrogate claim without justification. To have inherited the unique position of an ashraya vigraha, or the eternal supportive emblem of the Lord's spiritual love. Even thinking about it will make him egotistic. The uncontaminated state of these pure jivas exists in the spiritual world. Is to remain always subservient to the real Ashraya Vigraha, Srimati Radharani. Although the spirit soul is dear to Lord Krishna, yet both by constitution and by the Lord's desire, he is in the category of the Lord's separated energy, Jiva Tattva. Right? So one's always seeing oneself as the servant of those serving the action. That's why you have that point Rupa Goswami makes in the Nectar Devotion, that only there's actually technically only one devotee, that's Radharani, and everybody else is assisting. So one sees in that way, then one, because if one thinks I am Ashraya Tattva or Ashraya Vigraha, then one has made a mistake, because technically we're not. We can be, when you talk about the mechanics of the rasa, then it will be shown like that, but that's because one's in line with that person who is. Right? Therefore, then, these things work in that way. But it's not that we can do that. That was the whole problem in the introduction to rasa dance. Krishna goes out with all the gopis, and they're very, very proud of their position. So that's why Krishna left. So Radharani doesn't have that mood, so then he went with her.
Yeah, I guess at that point we can say that they're still self-conscious instead of being Krishna conscious.
Yes. Yeah, well, that was the point here. What was it? Wasn't it just a little bit before we mentioned that they're not even aware of themselves? Yes, your meditation on me has been single-minded, not thinking at all of your beauty or your nupital bliss. So that was the thing, is this is after their you know, complete absorption, when Krishna comes back and then meets him at the... But before that, this wasn't the case. And so that's why we have to be very, very careful, just thinking about these and, you know, the benefits we'll have, the happiness we'll have, and how wonderful we'll be, and we'll have the fabulous, and, you know, things like that. So these kind of things get in the way, because you're dealing on such a pure platform that is simply pure love, and that being exchanged, then it has all these unlimited facilities of the various mechanics of his energies, you know, the sambit and sundini potencies to affect, to express that lading, that love. Does that make sense? You know, so as you see the platform is talking about, you completely switch the mood. With that, yeah. All eight shlokas of Shikshastak unequivocally asseverate, emphatically declare the three principles, sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. In a general sense, the first shloka teaches the process of congregational chanting. The second, how one can realize the ineptitude to take up this chanting. The third, the procedure for chanting the holy name. Fourth, how to rid oneself of deception and detrimental mundane desires. The fifth, the jiva's original spiritual identity. The sixth, how one experiences his good fortune of coming closer to the Lord. The seventh, the mood of separation after one attains the required spiritual elevation. And the eighth, how to obtain the highest perfection in the matter of finding one's absolute necessity or goal. Basically, all the shlokas describe the principle of abhideya, or rendering devotional service. Within that context, the first five shlokas delineate sambandha jnana, and the remaining three explain prayojana, or the ultimate goal. The first five shlokas describe sadhana bhakti, and the next two, bhava bhakti, the sixth to eight shlokas, and especially the seventh and eighth, deal with prema bhakti. Right? So all the different ways of these categorizations that are there, that the acharya is given in dealing, then it's all contained within these eight. That's why it's so perfectly, arranged. But what one's, you know, appreciate is that the moods that are given here, and then you see again those contexts. Then those contexts are given by the acharya. So then, using those mechanics, then those kind of not mechanics, but those categorizations, then we can see the development, you know, and how we come from just beginning, taking up, to come to the platform of prema, you know, that whole process and all that. So we see the sadhana bhakti, the prema, bhava bhakti, the prema bhakti.
It's interesting how sometimes devotees say, Lord Chaitanya did not write any book, he only left eight prayers. Well, he actually planted the seeds for volumes and volumes.
Yes,
and
yes,
volumes,
yes, yes,
of books.
Yes, so you're not you have to put the emphasis on the eight, not on the only.
Right.
Yeah, because it's mentioned the acharyas, like I think in the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is pointing out that, you know, there's so many different things, and then where he's taking, you know, the information from and all that, and then, you know, what Lord Chaitanya has given, you know, all the instructions. I think Bhaktivinoda Thakura then is talking in the Shikshamrita, about how some people attribute this book or that book to Lord Chaitanya, but if you study them, you'll see that, like that. It's just these eight prayers. But the point is like you said, these eight prayers are the essence of all knowledge and understanding,
all
and the basics of all literatures. Yeah, like what he says here, says the three principles. You know, Abhideya, Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. But some say, oh, that's not so important. That's what it's talking about. They're all giving Abhideya. That's why Rupa Goswami is the primary Acharya, because it's everything we're dealing with is Abhideya, but at the same time, as you do have the aspects of Sambandha and Prayojana. So then you're seeing is that these first five shlokas are showing how to establish that sambandha, because sambandha means establishing your relationship. So it's only there with ayinandanatana. Then you actually see the soul as the eternal servant of the Lord. But that's fully realized, because before that is giving up all material desires, giving, you know, having the proper attitude and dealing with the Vaishnavas and everything, seeing one's position. Then that understanding, because otherwise we'll take it, yeah, we're not this body, that's the beginning stage. Now we're moving on to more advanced things like, you know, management techniques or something like that. But no, it's until you get to that point of understanding who you actually are in relationship to Krishna, that's then there, you know, because Sarup Siddhi means that's what's understood, because the gopis at the introduction of the Rasa dance didn't have that understanding. They're close. It's close, basically as close as you can get and not be there. But therefore, then the pastime unfolded in that way so that they were there.
So these are the Municharis and Shrutacharis?
Yeah, or anybody else, because you also have anybody else who's hasn't come to that.
Has not completed the Vastu Siddhi.
No, the Vastu Siddhi is Sarup Siddhi. Because having the Sarup, see, is the problem is that the Sahajiyas have messed it up and saying just knowing who you are, that's Sarup Siddhi. The Sarup Siddhi means is your Sarup is you're able to take part in the pastimes. You know? But you don't have the proper mood, so you have to come to that point where that is. So when they come to that platform of prema, so prema is actually, that's, you can say, a Sarup Siddhi. Because when you're qualified for rasa, then you can say, now you're properly engaged. You know, we'll say that's Vastu Siddhi. So it depends on if you're here, then, you know, that'll have to be obtained. So Vastu Siddhi means you will leave the form here. You won't come to prema. But those devotees, then you say it's very rare someone goes direct, they can go directly. You know, because they're taking part there, so then they go. But just evaporated.
I think Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in the beginning of Brahma Samhita, he clarifies that point in his commentary, saying that the jiva wandering in the material world can at best, like the highest, attain Sarup Siddhi. But yes. Vastu Siddhi is attainable over that side.
It's possible to attain here. But you still, that's a very advanced position.
Oh, yeah.
He says because you're able to take part in these things, but at some point you have to get to prema. But once you come to prema, then those devotees come down here and preach, and then they can maintain a body here because they're fully situated there. Yeah. So if they're going to ecstasy, it's happening there. You know, and you'll see some symptoms here.
Prabhupada says, we were listening yesterday, you know, these Bhagavad Gita lectures he gave in the early days. He says, the eternal associates of Krishna, they come to this material world to take care of business. They take care of business, and they are always conscious of their position. They are never covered.
Mm.
He said, once business is done, there you go.
They say the not sure how much you are. It is important within the sphere of your focus. Oh, it has corrected itself. I'm going to say you had to be the Brahman effulgence was starting in your pocket. I was just wondering if it was going to expand or if it was going to just... Maybe the light was on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it went off. So.
Yeah, it was on.
Okay. Okay, basically all the shlokas describe the principle of Abhideya, or rendering devotional service. Within that context, within Abhideya, the first five delineate Sambandha Gyan, and the remaining three explain Prayojana, or the ultimate goal. First five describe Sadhana Bhakti, and the next two, Bhava Bhakti. The 6 to 8 shlokas, and especially the 7 to 8, deal with Prema Bhakti. Presenting the following shlokas composed by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to convey my feelings, I offer my obeisances to all the readers and end this dissertation. For the Supreme Lord Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, and his transcendental abode, I think we can, yeah, an extra A now, are of one and the same spiritual substance, and are my objects of worship. The service rendered by the gopis in Vraja is paramount. Srimad Bhagavatam is the authentic and absolute substantive scripture and the basis of all spiritual thoughts and conclusions. Krishna Prema is the fifth goal beyond the four Vedic goals, and it is the supreme destination. This is Lord Chaitanya's opinion. This conclusion is most highly favored by us. Other opinions are neither important nor interesting to us.
This is a direct verse, Arajya Bhagavan Rajeshatanaya Prasnamsu, that one. That's just a translation of that verse,
oh,
directly from there.
Huh?
I think it was written by Srinath Chakravarti, Kali Karnapur's spiritual master, who wrote the Gaudiya commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam during the times of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was that person. Because that verse, Srila Prabhupada mentions in several places. But the reference, sometimes they say Vishwanath Chakravarti, but it's not.
Yeah. Well, he's saying he's taken from. Oh. It says composed by Srila Vishwanath.
Oh, really?
Yeah, presenting the following shloka composed by Srila Vishnu.
Yeah.
Maybe there was something there, and then he put it together in either Sanskrit or Bengali form that brought out.
Yeah.
It may have been, you know.
Because many refer to it as if it is by Vishnu.
Well, here Bhaktisiddhanta says, Swami Thakur says,
okay.
Composed. Presenting the following shlokas, so it must be a few shlokas.
Yeah.
Composed by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur to convey my feelings. I offer my obeisances to all the readers and end this dissertation. So it's interesting. Sometimes you'll do that. You give the thing and then you give the shloka at the end. Like that. Prabhupada occasionally will do that. In his Sri Sanmodana Bhashyam, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, other scriptural citations substantiating the shloka follow. Maybe these two got switched. That this is the, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That this is the page 92. It says in Sri Bhajan or Hasya that this page 95. That's the Bhajan or Hasya, and 92. That's the Sanmodana Bhashya. Because at the end of that other one before, he said, "I end this Sanmodana Bhashya."
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because. Mm-hmm. Because generally in Bhajan Rahasya is just giving shlokas. Sometimes he'll speak on something, but a lot of times it's just the shlokas. So maybe if we can check, then they can be switched. From Srimad Bhagavatam 10:31-11 and 15. Dear Master, dear Lover, when you leave the village to herd the cows, Our minds are disturbed with the thought that your feet, which are softer and more beautiful than a lotus, will be pricked by the spiked husks of grain and rough grass and plants. When you go to the forest during the day, the merest fraction of a second seems like a millennium to us, because we cannot see you. And even when we are able to look eagerly upon your beautiful face, so lovely with its ornamentation of curly hair, our pleasure is hindered by our eyelids, which are fashioned by the foolish creator. From Krishna Karinamrita 12. May the lotus-like feet of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, the only gallant hero who enjoys eternal pastimes with all the Lakshmi Devis, gopis, whose blooming beautiful beauty withers away the exquisite beauty of lotuses, and who is expert at fully convincing his devotees of his divine protection. Be indelibly enthroned upon my heart, and thus bestow upon me inexpressible happiness. Verses 63-65, summary of the Sri Kshastra prayers. Thus overwhelmed by ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke like a madman and recited suitable verses. The Lord had formerly composed these 8 verses to teach people in general. Now he personally tasted the meaning of the verses, which are called the Shikshastika. If anyone recites or hears these 8 verses of instruction by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his ecstatic love and devotion for Krishna increase day by day. Verses 62-102. Srila Krishna's Kaviraj's reason for compiling Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is as deep and grave as millions of oceans, when the mood of his various emotions rises, he becomes restless. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read the verses of Jayadev's Gita Govinda, of Srimad Bhagavatam, of Ramananda Rai's drama Jagannath Vallabh Natika, and of Bilva Mangal Thakur's Krishna Karinamrita, he was overwhelmed by the various ecstatic emotions of those verses. Thus he tasted their purports. For 12 years, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained in that state day and night. With his 2 friends, he tasted the meaning of those verses, which consist of nothing but the transcendental bliss and mellows of Krishna consciousness. Even Anantadev, who has thousands of faces, could not reach the end of describing the transcendental bliss of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. How then could an ordinary living being with very little intelligence describe these pastimes? Nevertheless, I am trying to touch but a particle of them just to rectify myself. There is no limit to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities and his words of madness. Therefore, describing them all would greatly increase the size of this book. Whatever pastime Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has first described, I have merely summarized. I have only very briefly described the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not... I have only briefly described the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not described by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Nevertheless, because those transcendental pastimes are so numerous, the size of this book has increased. It is impossible to describe all the pastimes elaborately. I shall therefore end this description and offer them my respectful obeisances. What I have described gives merely an indication, but by following this indication, one may obtain a taste of all the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I cannot understand the very deep, meaningful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My intelligence cannot penetrate them, and therefore I could not properly describe them. After offering respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of all my Vaishnava readers, I shall therefore end this description of the characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The sky is unlimited, but many birds fly higher and higher according to their own abilities. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are like the unlimited sky. How then can an ordinary living being describe them all? I have tried to describe them as far as my intelligence allows, and if trying to touch a drop in the midst of a great ocean. Vrindavan Das Thakur is Lord Nityananda's favorite devotee, and therefore he is the original Vyasadeva in describing the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says to Adi Thakur, says that all writers after Vrindavan Das Thakur, who are pure devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and who have tried to describe the Lord's activities, are to be considered like Vyas. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur is the original Vyas in describing Chaitanya Leela, and all others who follow in his footsteps by describing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are also to be called Vyasadeva. The bona fide spiritual master is called Vyas because he is a representation of Vyas. Worshipping the birthday of such a spiritual master is called Vyasa Puja. 320, 83-87. Although Vrindavan Das Thakur has within his jurisdiction the full store of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, he has left aside most of them and described but a small portion. What I have described was left aside by Vrindavan Das Thakur. But although he could not describe these pastimes, he gave us a synopsis. In this book named Chaitanya, in his book named Chaitanya Mangala, Chaitanya Bhagava, he has described these pastimes in many places. I request my readers to hear that book, for that is the best evidence. I have described the pastimes very briefly, for it is impossible for me to describe them in full. In future, however, Veda Vyasa will describe them elaborately. In the Chaitanya Mangala, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has stated in many places the factual truth that in the future Vyasadeva will describe the Lord's pastimes elaborately. Srila Prabhupada. The statement Age Vyasa Kariba Varnane is similar to a text in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adikanda 180, in which Vrindavan Das Thakur says, Shesha Kande Chaitanyara Ananta Vilas Vistariya Varnite Achena Veda Vyas. The unlimited pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be described by Vyasadeva in the future. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says these statements indicate that in the future, and other representatives of Vyasadeva will elaborately describe Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. The purport is that any pure devotee in the disciplic succession who describes the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is confirmed to be a representative of Vyasadeva. Right, so that's the thing to see, is that anybody who's nicely describing Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and all that, then is considered to be a representative of Vyas. So the point is that these are be elaborately described. These devotees in the future will be discussing them, bringing out various points and making the pastimes more, how do I say, appreciable by the devotees. 320, 88-102. The ocean of nectarian pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like the ocean of milk. According to his thirst, Vrindavan Das Thakur filled his pitcher and drank from that ocean. Whatever remains of milk Vrindavan Das Thakur has given me are sufficient to fill my belly. Now my thirst is completely satiated. I am a very insignificant living being, like a small red beaked bird. Just as such a bird drinks the water of the sea to quench its thirst, so I have touched only a drop of the ocean of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. From this example, you may all understand how expansive are the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I infer that, quote unquote, I have written is a false understanding, for my body is like a wooden doll. I am old and troubled by invalidity. I am almost blind and deaf. My hands tremble and my mind and intelligence are unsteady. I am infected with so many diseases that I can neither properly walk nor properly sit. Indeed, I am always exhausted by five kinds of diseases. I may die at any time of the day or night. I have previously given an account of my inabilities. Please hear the reason why I nevertheless still write. I am writing this book by the mercy of the lotus feet of Sri Govindadev, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, Advaitacharya, other devotees and the readers of this book, as well as Sri Dhammana Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, who is my spiritual master, and Sri Jiva Goswami. I have also been specifically favored by another Supreme Personality. Sri Madan Mohan Diri of Vrindavan has given the order that is making me right. Although this should not be disclosed, I disclose it because I am unable to remain silent. If I did not disclose this fact, I would be guilty of ingratitude to the Lord. Therefore, my dear readers, please do not consider me too proud and be angry at me. It is because I have offered my prayers at the lotus feet of all of you that whatever I have written about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been possible. Now let me repeat all the pastimes of the Antya Lila, for if I do so, I shall taste the pastimes again. Verses 103 to 140, summary of the Antya Lila. The first chapter describes how Rupa Goswami met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the second time, and how the Lord heard his two dramas, Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava. That chapter also describes the incident of Shivananda Sen's dog, who was induced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to chant the holy name of Krishna, and was thus liberated. The second chapter tells how the Lord instructively punished Junior Haridas. Also in that chapter is the description of the wonderful vision of Shivananda Sen. In the third chapter is the description of the forceful glories of Haridas Thakur. That chapter also mentions how Damodara Pandit spoke words of criticism to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The third chapter also tells how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered everyone by bestowing upon the universe the holy name of the Lord, and it describes how Haridas Thakur established the glories of the holy name by his practical example. The fourth chapter describes Sanatana Goswami's second visit with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how the Lord saved him from committing suicide. The fourth chapter also tells how Sanatana Goswami was tested in the sunshine of Jaishta, May-June, and was then empowered and sent back to Vrindavan. The fifth chapter tells how the Lord showed his favor to Pradyumna Mishra and made him hear topics of Krishna from Ramananda Rai. That chapter also describes how Sri Damodara Goswami rejected the drama of a poet from Bengal and established the glories of the deity. The sixth chapter describes how Raghunath Das Goswami met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and performed the Chipped Rice Festival in accordance with Nityananda Prabhu's order. That chapter also tells how the Lord entrusted Raghunath Das Goswami to the care of Sri Damodara Goswami and gave Raghunath Das the gift of a stone from Govardhan Hill and a garland of small conch shells. The seventh chapter tells how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Vallabha Bhakta and dismantled his false pride in various ways. The eighth chapter describes the arrival of Ramachandra Puri and how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu minimized his eating due to fear of him. In the ninth chapter is the description of how Gopinath Patanayaka was delivered and how the people of the three worlds were able to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the tenth chapter, I have described how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tasted the food given by his devotees. And I have also described the assortment of prasadam in the bags of Raghava Pandit. Also in that chapter is the description of how the Lord examined Govinda and how he danced in the temple. The 11th chapter describes the disappearance of Haridas Thakur and how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, showed his affection for his devotees. In the 12th chapter are descriptions of how Jagadananda Pandit broke a pot of oil and how Lord Nityananda chastised Shivananda Sen. The 13th chapter tells how Jagadananda Pandit went to Mathura and returned, and how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chance heard a song sung by a Devadasi dancing girl. Also in the 13th chapter is an account of how Raghunath Bhatta met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who by his causeless mercy sent him to Vrindavan. And the 14th chapter describes the beginning of the Lord's spiritual trance, in which his body was at Jagannath Puri, but his mind was in Vrindavan. Also in that chapter is a description of how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell down in front of the Simhadwara gate of the Jagannath temple, his bones separated at the joints, and how various transcendental symptoms awakened in him. Also in that chapter is the description of how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ran towards Chataka Parvata and spoke like a madman. In the 15th chapter is the description of how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered a garden on the seashore and mistook it for Vrindavan. Also in that chapter is the description of the attraction of Lord Chaitanya's five senses to Krishna, how he searched for Krishna in the Rasa dance. The 16th chapter tells how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed his mercy to Kalidas and thus demonstrated the result of eating the remnants of the food of Vaishnavas. It also describes how Shivananda's son composed a verse and how the doorkeeper of the Simhadwara showed Krishna to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Also in that chapter, the glories of Mahaprasadam are explained, and a verse is tasted describing the effect of nectar from the lips of Krishna. The 17th chapter recounts how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell among the cows and assumed the form of a tortoise as his ecstatic emotions awakened. That chapter also tells how the attributes of Krishna's sound attracted the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who then described in ecstasy the meaning of the Ka Sri Anga Te verse. The 17th chapter also tells how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, due to the conjunction of various ecstatic emotions, again began speaking like a madman and describing in detail the meaning of a verse from the Krishna Karinamrita. In the 18th chapter is an account of how the Lord fell into the ocean and in ecstasy saw in a dream the pastimes of a water fight between Krishna and the gopis. In that dream, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Krishna's picnic in the forest. As Lord Chaitanya floated in the sea, a fisherman caught him, and then the Lord returned to his own residence. All this is recounted in the 18th chapter. In the 19th chapter is a description of how Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rubbed his face against the walls and spoke like a madman because of separation from Krishna. That chapter also describes Krishna's wandering in the garden on a spring night, and it fully describes the meaning of a verse about the scent of Krishna's body. The 20th chapter tells how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited his own 8 stanzas of instruction and tasted their meaning in ecstatic love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu composed those 8 stanzas to instruct the devotees, but he also personally tasted their meaning. I have thus repeated the principal pastimes and their meaning, for by such repetition one can remember the descriptions in the book. Verses 141 to 157. Sri Chaitanya Charitamritas follow Shruti. In 320, 141 to 146. In every chapter there are various topics, but I have repeated only those that are principal, for not all of them can be described again. The Vrindavan deities of Madan Mohan were Srimati Radharani, Govinda was Srimati Radharani, and Gopinath was Srimati Radharani, are the life and soul of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So that my desires may be fulfilled, I place the lotus feet of those personalities on my head. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with Lord Nityananda, Advaita Acharya and their devotees, as well as Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, who is my spiritual master, and Srila Jiva Goswami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami was the instructing spiritual master of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and is therefore been described as Sri Guru. Are we on time? The mercy of the lotus feet of my spiritual master and my words are my disciples, whom I have made dance in various ways. Srila Prabhupada, Upadhyayi or Upadhyaya refers to one who teaches then when approached. Upetya adi yate asmat in the Manu Samhita is said, Eka desham tu vedasya vedanganyapi va punaha yo dhyapayati vrityartam upadhyaya sa uchate. One who teaches others a part of the Veda or literatures supplementary to the Vedas may be called upadhyaya. Upadhyaya also refers to one who teaches art. So he's saying is that the mercy of all the three deities and the Goswamis, they're his the how you say is his spiritual master, and then his speaking about Lord Chaitanya, that's then the his words then become the disciples, who then they dance in various ways. In this way, various pastimes of Lord Chaitanya have been described, but all based on the instructions of the spiritual. In other words, he's heard from his gurus, and then therefore to the next after him, then he is following in their footsteps.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.